You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Friday is right there around the corner. People waking up early to fight large crowds to shop. To save $20 or $40 or maybe even $100, that's the reason? Here's another way you could spend your Black Friday. Sleep in. Visit thecanopygroup.com, request a quote on your home and auto insurance, and you avoid the long lines, you avoid the tug-of-war for merchandise. All you get out of it is better insurance coverage that'll save you an average of $800 annually. Then take your $800 savings and have your own Black Friday, maybe next Wednesday. This savings will continue each and every year as the Canopy Group's 40 professionals shop your coverage with their 16 companies, saving you money year in and year out. Just think of the great gifts you can buy with $800. Go to thecanopygroup.com or call 800-967-3389 and get the best coverage for the best price in the comfort of your own home.
Always fun.
Crazy. It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
Patrick, I believe the Vikings game qualified for an Augie.
I was going to just say, it would have been a weekend filled with yoo-hoo-hoos from Augie, starting with the Gopher game, which the Gopher game is all on the coach. To me, the Gopher game loss, that loss. You decided to play god-awful, take-no-chances football to give those clowns from Iowa who can win no other kind of game a chance, right?
Yeah.
You gave them a chance to win one of the most putrid football games ever seen on the hallowed ground or whatever the hell we call that stadium now, right?
Yes.
But the other game, I mean, that was, to me, a delightful ass kicking, because if you're gonna get beat, why not like that? It was fun, because a week ago we were gonna have a parade for him. It was the happiest we'd ever been with. We were talking about, this is the most fired up people have been about the Vikings since Favre in 2009, right? At least maybe 98. Mm-hmm. And then to come out, that's what makes, I said this on Twitter, that's what makes this sports, this great, wonderful mystery that we all follow, that you can go from the highest of highs to just getting your face. Too bad it wasn't in the old Met Stadium mud, so they could have gotten their face shoved into the mud. And that one, that only started on the first play of the game. When he runs around Micah runs around Darisaw, yeah, was still playing then.
You knew it was trouble then.
Run around him.
Yep.
Absolute sprint to Kirk. And they fumble, and it's over. It's over. It was just a romp from there. I could not believe, though, we made a big deal about the worst loss ever in the city limits of Minneapolis, but it was the Cowboys' largest margin of victory ever in a road game.
Yeah, it was
63 seasons. That's what they said on TV.
Yeah. Oh, I buy
about,
that.
With about 5 minutes to go, they said, because they didn't go away from us. Here's how bad it was. Reavers is in Florida, right?
Yeah.
Down there. I don't know why. But
I'm sure he drove, though.
He's watching the game at some bar in Tampa, you know, on the water. And they switch away in the middle of the third quarter to a more, and they announced, we're going to a more competitive game. How bad does it have to be for Fox to leave a Cowboys game? How bad does it have to be?
CBS?
Or CBS.
It was
CBS.
A rare CBS NFC game.
Oh, CBS, okay.
But
I
anyway,
don't know where I was watching it.
It's saying it's not, I love that though. We're going to a more competitive
game
than this horse bleep.
But that's, to me, it's, and then they went to who? The, I don't even know who. Nothing special.
Cincinnati and somebody. Pittsburgh. I think, or something like that.
In Pittsburgh. But that's, I mean, you don't leave the Cowboys game.
That's great.
Now, obviously, in Texas, they didn't leave the Cowboys game. That they were
Vikings having, fans wish they had.
Yeah, they would. Yeah, they would have. Probably over in Wisconsin, the Packers played earlier, right?
Thursday.
Oh, that's right.
They played the Titans.
They lost Thursday. But, yeah, it was amazing. It was just an amazing track meet to the quarterback. Seven sacks, and he was definitely looking to see where the pass rush was coming more than he was looking down the field to see if there's anybody to throw the ball to.
Yeah.
How many passes did he end up completing? Do you know?
I think it's like 12.
12, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was. The line, I don't remember the last time the line looked that bad.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lions had some bad days previous to the season.
And I heard Bursich this morning, and he was talking about when they brought the blitz and stuff. But Suhan had a stat today that I saw in his column that of the seven sacks, six were
four
just
man.
With a four-man.
Yep.
So,
how about that?
Yeah. Wow. It was. But the middle is terrible. And then Cleveland, right? I mean, Bradbury and Ed Ingram shouldn't be playing. It's not his fault.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, who else got run over a couple times? O'Neal, our hero, our guy on the right.
Oh, the entire line.
He got pushed off the ball.
Darrisaw struggled before he went back out with a concussion, and Blake Brandel's got no chance.
But how about the way Dallas has got about seven of them on that offensive line, right? I don't know how long they can afford to keep all of them, but they got new guys that come in and just boom. They got the big guys in the middle, but then they can, in pass situations, they can replace them with two small, fast guys. And
Parsons is incredible.
Yeah, but how much influence does he have with McCarthy that he leaves the game hobbling and he comes back in because he wants another sack or two, right?
I guess, and you must have told him, I'm going back in.
Yeah, you must have said, no, you're not. You got a game Thursday, dummy. They got a reasonably tough. Who they play Thursday? Somebody good, right? Somebody.
They play the Giants, right?
Yeah, the Giants are kind of desperate now after getting beat over the weekend. So,
I was surprised Kirk didn't get taken out in the third quarter because he was getting his ass kicked.
Yeah, he was. And they were not prepared for what they were going to face in any way. They certainly were not prepared with the defense that had Jordan Hicks trying to run down Tony Pollard.
Did they?
That ain't going to work.
Did they realize Tony Pollard was good?
Well,
they certainly didn't look prepared.
After that first little pass where he took it to the house, they might have said, we better do something here. But
Ed Donatell, did we prepare for this guy at all?
Yeah, I don't know about Ed.
I would agree with you.
I know.
I have serious questions about it.
Yeah, I think he wants to do what he's always done, and the league keeps getting changed. League keeps changing, right?
You know what I think he is? I think he is hired by association because he was Fangio's guy, right?
Yeah.
And Fangio's good, and so Ed must be good. That's not necessarily true.
What about this?
Mm-hmm.
This really makes Thursday night's game interesting, though, to see if the boys are back up, fired up, or if they're sitting around looking at each other saying what happened. But luckily, they're playing a team with, if you score 17 points, you should beat them, right?
Yeah, New England? Yes. Yeah, the Patriots can't score.
They're like Iowa. Their offensive line is terrible. I mean, they're terrible only because they're all hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. They've probably like three of them are.
They've got like three guys out, I think. I think the center got hurt again.
Mm-hmm. And, so, but you know damn well, Belichick's going to have something for you defensively. They're not going to have this kind of pass rush, but they
got a good one.
They don't give up any points. You know, well, what have they won? They won 4 out of 5 or something, all with defense, basically.
So. And I think they're second in the league to sacks to the Cowboys, so they'll get to the quarterback. And Christian Darrisaw is not going to play, so
no.
I'm not super confident about the left tackle.
Oh God, was he terrible? He's got who is he? Is he a draft choice? Or what? Who is it?
Blake Brandel.
Is he a some guy they took off the scrap heap or what? I didn't know anything about
him. I can check. He might be.
They didn't spend any money on backup linemen, in other words, right? No. They have no plans for the backup linemen.
Well, they signed that Chris Reed.
Yeah.
But he hasn't been hurt active. All year. That poor Schlottman came in, false started. They yanked him back
out. Who's he?
I never heard of him. He's a veteran. He was with the Broncos. Mm-hmm. And the Vikings offensive line coach is a former Broncos guy.
Okay.
So he knows him.
He says, he's okay. Schlottman will be okay.
Sixth round pick, 2020. Blake Brandel attended Oregon State.
Okay. Yeah. Well, oof. He was, he had.
Milwaukee.
That's a pretty big load for a guy. Go in there and block Micah for us, will you, son?
Jeez. Well, and, you know, Darisaw, up until this, had been just fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. And O'Neal had a bad day, and Darisaw, I mean, Micah did blow by Darisaw a couple of – when did he leave? Middle of the second quarter?
Yes, he did. And I saw the play. It was another sack that might have been on him. The guy hit it, – it's not Parsons – the Dallas guy hits him helmet to helmet, and you can see his head go back.
Yeah,
and I'm sure that's when it happened.
You know, wily old Uncle Pat, as we call him, I've been saying for weeks now when they asked me about the Vikings, I said, stay healthy, you know? It's the NFL. If you got two guys hurt, you can survive. Of course, one of the guys that got hurt now is not somebody you can survive, Darisaw.
Right.
But when you start getting five or six injuries...
And oh, yeah.
Then things go to hell.
Certain guys, too.
Yeah.
Left tackles.
Yeah. Corner.
This booth.
We never knew how much we needed Dantzler. You know, what happened to him? Is he out for a while?
He's on the IR.
Oh, really? Did he sprain an ankle or something?
Yes. And he's going to miss four games. And then he got replaced by the fourth round rookie, Caleb Evans, who has a concussion, and he didn't get out of the protocol. And so Booth, who they
How about Duke? Where was Duke?
Duke is a guy they signed off the street.
Yeah, but Duke looked like a superstar compared to Andrew Booth. Had no idea what the hell he was doing.
That pick might look like it might not contribute as much as we thought.
Yeah, it's a little early, but yeah.
That's a second round
trying
pick.
To find out what the second rounder, they traded up for him, too. Right?
Yeah, shouldn't a second rounder be able to step in and not look terrible? Is that asking a lot?
You know what his problem was? When that receiver went down, he'd go, like that. He'd give him a little head fake, and that kind of threw him off.
That's never good.
No.
CeeDee Lamb's going to beat you there.
Yeah, when the simplest of all things, I'm going to jump this route now. I know he's going by you. So that was beautiful. Yet, let me say this. For the weekend of football, the Gophers' loss was much more disgusting. Don't you agree? This was just an ass-kicking.
Yep.
And... you know, you're coming off the great game, and you get your skull cheer, and you're all thinking great, and all of a sudden you get punched right off the bat, and you never recover.
The Gophers' loss to me was a season-long achievement award of being of embarrassing yourself given an opportunity that was great.
I want to repeat this. People keep saying I jumped on the PJ bandwagon and they started losing. I jumped on the PJ wagon just for fun, and they went and beat Michigan State 37-6 or whatever it was, right? 30-7, whatever it was. They kicked the hell out of them. Then, suddenly, they decided they didn't want to play offense anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they played Purdue. They let Purdue hold them to 10 points. Look at Purdue's scores. Now, Purdue won it with defense against Saturday against mighty Northwestern. 17-9 or something.
Mm-hmm.
But they stopped. I don't know what's wrong. Why they stopped throwing the ball? I know they don't have great receivers, but how do you know? You never throw to them.
It's like Ottman Bell got hurt, and slowly but surely they said,
well, never going to pass again.
Yeah.
Kip had a stat I saw. I mean, other people did too. Fifth fewest passes in Division I football. Three of the teams behind them are the service academies.
Second year in a row.
Yeah.
That they've been that
low?
That they've. I believe last year they only exceeded the service academies, and now it's the service academies in, was it New Mexico State?
Yeah, who's Jerry.
Yeah.
Coach Jerry. And Jerry, by the way, has missed one game, San Jose game. The kid died, and they didn't play that San Jose game. So they're one game short.
Mm-hmm.
But Navy on Saturday won a game throwing one pass and not completing it. Navy. So you're ahead. You're throwing it
That's
more
a game
than
you would have loved, by the way.
You're throwing it more than Navy, but just barely. And as I said to start this, Judd, you're playing right into Iowa's hands. If you can get the game moving at all, then Iowa's got to try to do something with this Petras. You know, now Petras, they did set up the one play for a touchdown, and the kid dropped it. And then they did complete the one to the tight end down the middle. By the way, the interception, the guy scored.
Yeah, that's what Chip told me, too.
Yeah. And this is the great thing about college football. If they rule he stayed in bounds, they can review it. If they ruled he stepped out, they can't review it.
Why is that the rule?
Maybe because
they review every play.
Maybe they think if they blow the whistle, then the other team stop. But But when you looked at it, there was no indication he stepped out of bounds. But they didn't review it. So, I mean, it was probably 2 inches. But
how about
erring on the side of it's a touchdown, we'll review it.
Absolutely.
Instead of making a call and being wrong.
I would always let it go.
Yeah.
Just let the touchdown go.
Yeah, and then review it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there. Big Ten officials, I think when I retire from newspapering and work at it a couple of years, I can become a Big Ten referee. The guy running that show had to be 86.
You're pretty young for that.
What the hell is he? What do they got all these fossils out? They've always had these aged, same guys making the same screw-ups every week. But that didn't have much to do with the outcome of that game. Wow. Were you over there? Did you go?
No. I went to the Wild game. And that started at 7, so.
Okay.
I couldn't get to both, and not that I picked a great game, but it was better than the Gophers.
Okay. So I wonder what I didn't see many crowd shots. How was the crowd? Did they get 40?
I didn't look at what the attendance was. It looked like
but they didn't get the usual influx of Iowans
because they stink.
The Iowans are disgusted with the Ferentz boys. By the way, Big Ten all time embarrassments. If I was your West champion. Which, if they win Friday, they will be.
Decline.
Yes, right.
Forfeit.
Yes, we're not.
Let the Buckeyes.
Or the Michigan. We're not playing either. I'm sorry. We're not going to play them. But I think Iowa already lost to both of them, right? Those were two of their losses.
I think you're right.
This
Iowa team's not good.
No, they're terrible. Here's what I said. If they lose Saturday, the Gophers, they will be under 500 in the Big Ten, playing the worst schedule since Germany surrendered, and since World War II. But somebody kept saying, which war, were some of the responses on Twitter. But they've never had a schedule like this in their history. When they played nine games, because the Nebraska, Iowa, Wisconsin are all bad at the same time, and you didn't play Michigan or Ohio State. You played one really tough team, Penn State, and Illinois. Was
there?
How about Bielema? By the way, he took the Big Ten. He's going to end up getting fined or suspended.
Oh, I saw the quote.
He basically said it was fixed.
Yeah.
That this is the way the Big Ten
runs. That was incredible.
Yeah, it was. He went right.
It looked
at
like
him.
It was made up because it was so over the top.
Yeah, but it was. There were some calls there that at the end that he got all the penalties at the end, and I wonder what the Big Ten has done today to respond to this.
But this is an all.
He's basically saying Kevin Warren wants Ohio State and Michigan to both be undefeated.
Yeah.
You know.
But this is an all-time, this Gophers.
Oh.
I don't even know what you call it. Choke job.
Yeah. I mean, it was there for him. There's no doubt.
He is one of the worst big-time in-game coaches I've ever seen.
I wonder, does he take all the influence? He must. He must tell him, I don't want to. He must tell his offensive guy. He doesn't want to throw the ball. Let's keep running it. I mean, Mo ended up, he fumbled on his 14th carry of the drive.
Yeah.
14. I mean, they were going right down the field, but you give the ball to a guy 14 times, something bad can happen. So,
and then they get it right back, and then they decide, okay, now we're going to try to pass.
Because it's third and seven or something,
and
right?
The poor kid throws the pick.
Yep. They got that batted around a little, and everybody said, you can't blame the kid. Well, it was not a well-thrown ball. It was like a receiver.
But he can't manage the clock, PJ. He can't manage the clock. He has no idea how to use timeouts.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a bad, poorly coached game, to say the least. And now you're going to go to they lose Saturday. Motor City Bowl, here we come, right?
Yeah.
If they lose Saturday.
Yeah, I think it's changed its name, but yeah, you're going to Detroit.
I heard PJ this morning on the big shooting FM station at 11 o'clock or 10, and it was hard to tell who was more depressed, him or Paul Allen, after the weekend events. I just heard the end of it, but Wisconsin has, you know, their usual outstanding offensive line, big-time running back, and really great receivers like they always have.
So we're setting up the loss.
Always have. So that's, forget what you've seen.
Yep.
That is a typical Wisconsin powerhouse. Kind of like when Taylor played for them.
So this is the official way in 2022 to replace Sid, right?
Yes.
To tell Paul.
Yeah, that this is really, really
set up
good.
The loss.
Yeah, really good. But he sounded a little down in the dumps. PJ.
He should be.
Yes, yes.
I don't think he's in trouble, but
he's not in trouble.
At all, but yeah, he should be down in the dumps.
Our guy Ross down the hall, who's all in on the Gophers, says, couple of years, he could be in the hot seat. He's got 5 years. They won't run him
out. You know what, Pat? I don't think it matters. I've decided after this season, I don't know that it matters who you bring in here.
But here, you're playing in the West. You got a $175 million complex. This is not the old times when you had to go over and show them the leaky Bierman building as your thing. You got this. You got advantages that no coach has ever had here as far as and you can cheat as much as you want now. Nobody's ever ineligible. Nobody flunks out. It's impossible to flunk out. Anywhere in America, you send a kid to college, unless the kid, you know, tries to rob the bursar's office, they're going to keep taking money from him. And nobody's going to flunk out. And so you don't have to worry about eligibility. You don't have to worry about, getting somebody in school. You don't have to worry about anything. They got advantages they've never had, and the product should be better than it is. And people keep saying, he's the first coach since 1904 to win 11 games in a season. And the fact that for the first 70 of those years, they didn't play 11 games does not seem to affect anybody.
But we sure were excited, 2019, right?
Oh, God.
Penn State, you went and kicked Auburn's butt.
Yeah, beat Auburn bad. The fact Auburn was, Dobbers were down.
And it's gone completely backwards since then.
Yes, it has. 2000, it was the COVID.
Right.
Then last year it was, but they ended up, 5-4? Last year in the Big Ten, something like that.
But you know,
but they played a little tougher schedule last year.
And they played a little better, but it wasn't 2019. Mm-hmm.
Last year you had them. But this was the Bowling Green game plan that they used Saturday.
Illinois, too, last year. Yeah. Here.
We're afraid. We're playing Bowling Green, and we're afraid to make mistakes.
Yes.
Get them in a track meet and kick their ass. Jeez. Get the game moving.
And he has no idea how to change the flow then.
No.
That's the other thing.
No. This season is a fiasco.
A disaster.
Yes, in my opinion.
Because you've got the Wolverines and Buckeyes back on the schedule next year.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. So. And I think there's a, now the non-conference, they open with Nebraska, I believe.
Yes, they do.
Nebraska will have a new coach. who might know what he's doing. I don't know. Lane Kiffin is my prediction. A lot of people think no, but Lane Kiffin, perfect spot for
Big
Lane.
Perfect
spot. Lane comes home. Yeah. He found out playing Alabama this week. He'll never beat Alabama. He found that out. And they'll give him $9-10 million if he wants to come back. And he is the, to me, Lane Kiffin is the Eric Musselman of college football. Just bring him in. You're going to have some athletes. You're going to have some athletes. And now you can get them any way you want to, right?
Yes. Yeah, you're right. There's no more cheating, really.
Yeah, I mean, you can be the name, image, and likeness of Nebraska is, you know, go out to some farm and say, boy, this guy's got nice cows, and they're going to give him, you know, 200 if you get the right players.
Yeah, Kemp's.
Money is not going to be an object, so... I don't know, but they'll probably make a dumb hire like Lance Leopold is. You hear that rumor. Well, he knows he's a good offensive genius, but is he going to get athletes from New Jersey like they used to get out there?
How has this guy not found a quarterback, Fleck?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, we're not 2 years,
kid,
3 years
we're
anymore.
We're now all on to the kid. How do we know? We haven't seen him try to do anything.
Right.
I'm predicting that they go to Wisconsin and throw 20 passes. That they try to do something. Because why not?
Right.
The season is over.
Right.
You've ruined the season. They're expecting you to come in and run Mo 50 times. They got to go down there and throw the ball and find out if this kid can do anything.
But how can you not come out here and throw the ball against Iowa?
I don't know.
Which can't match you if you have any success.
No. No. If you get Iowa in any kind of a up and down game, they got no shot. The bride's calling.
Oh, she's calling you back.
Yep. Too late. Sorry, honey.
it's just, yeah, it's maddening to watch the ineptitude.
Mm-hmm. I'm married to a 12-year-old when it comes to the cell phone, except she doesn't check her texts either. They don't answer their phone. They don't answer their phone. None of them answer their phone,
no.
But she doesn't check. They at least check their
texts. That was the problem with the polling.
Yes.
That's why they got the polling wrong, because young people never picked their phones
they don't
up.
Pick their, that's right. That's right. They didn't.
They all went and voted, but they didn't.
They
tell
didn't
them.
Know that every 28-year-old woman in America was going to vote the other way.
I think Dawn uses her cell phone more for games, playing games, than she actually does for anything else.
Really?
Yeah. She loves to play the games on the phone.
The nephews, I got, you know, 6 of them all under 10.
Mm-hmm.
And they same thing, Uncle Declan. Can I use your phone to play games? I have no games. I have Twitter. Twitter's my game.
Yeah.
Instagram,
yeah.
TikTok. That's
either.
My
well,
game.
They'll put them on your phone.
Well,
in
they
a
will
if you give them. If you let them have them.
I'm glad you don't.
Yeah,
that's good.
No, Uncle Declan doesn't do that.
Gotta put
well,
your foot
both
down.
Of my grandkids now have phones, so they don't have to borrow mine and have some goofy looking stuff on there sometimes or another. But
parents paying for it, huh?
Yeah. I don't. Yeah, I'm sure the parents are paying for it. Yeah, who else would be paying for it? They don't have any money. Although, the boy, the 12-year-old boy, is a miser.
Good for him.
He's got a chance to have some money because we got him a lockbox so his sister can't go in and steal his money. So, and he's got the thing. So he keeps it. He keeps the cash in there. But anyway, that's another issue here. That but the wife's always complaining because I've talked to family members and they, why don't they call me? Well, because you're not going to answer. They know if they text me, I'll respond.
Does she have the numbers in her or the names with the numbers?
So, but you got to look.
Okay,
you
got
to look at your phone. To respond.
I always look.
I look all the time.
I don't answer it, but
if it's
I look.
A text that I'm interested in
right.
or a family member wanting to answer a question, I'll respond, which makes it easier for them to know that if they want to get a hold of us, to go through me.
Yeah.
So, that's hard to explain to the bride, God love her.
I would never predict that you would be the go-through person in the relationship, but, you know.
Well, not. In the relation, in the
no, but I'm saying like when people
within the family,
yeah, but when people reach out,
that's right. So the hockey team won one. The Gus looked good in the net.
Yeah, on Saturday? Yeah he played pretty well. Carolina played a very strange game.
They're supposed to be good, right?
Yeah, and they scored a really nice goal, took a 1-0 lead, and then played
conservative
Jacques Lemaire prevent defense the rest of the game, and it cost him. And then that was a great story. Goligoski, who is absolutely cooked.
1,000th game.
They honored him, and so they played him for the first time, since the third game of the season?
Yeah, like 2 weeks,
They hadn't played him in forever.
And he got a goal?
The overtime goal, and no one could figure out why he was on the ice in overtime when it's 3-on-3. He would be the last guy next to the backup goalie be on the ice.
That's another reason sports are a mystery. It's weird, man.
It's great.
Stuff like that happen.
Greatest reality television that exists is sports.
Yes, it is. It is. And, that's what we... that's what we encountered, with the Vikings 1 week to the next Thursday. Who knows? Everybody says, they're in trouble Thursday. Who knows?
Oh, you don't.
Maybe they'll come out and play great.
Yes.
But
I do like the PTSD, though. Twitter, first quarter, Twitter yesterday lit up. I knew they were terrible.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. It was,
I knew they sucked.
There was one. Who out there didn't know this was coming was one of their things. Well, the point spread went from 2.5 to 1.5, so whoever bet on Minnesota brought it down. And then everybody who did the skull cheer, they didn't know it was coming. They were happy as could be, from what I could tell. And me, I didn't know it was coming. I thought, I kind of liked the buyout because this team lost to Green Bay.
Yeah,
they just stunk it out against Green Bay.
Trying to figure out anything in this league, damn near impossible.
Crazy,
exactly right. Did you see some of the stuff yesterday, though? Philadelphia barely beats the Colts. Mm-hmm. The Colts led most of the game. The Lions beat the Giants.
Yes.
It is absolutely goofy. Sid wasn't wrong about that.
No, it is. And look at it. The Rams, terrible.
Yep.
Why are they terrible? They got, they gave up the house for these guys, and they let Von Miller go, or another couple of guys, but they're not that much different than they were last year. Cup's hurt now.
Yeah, Cup's hurt, and Stafford, I think, was concussed again.
Yeah.
Like Darisaw, he went out again. He won't be back for a while.
I bet the boy genius, wishes he'd gone through with his threat to go to TV. Yeah, then we'd be saying, oh boy, Sean, look at, they lost Sean, and they're 3-7, or whatever they are.
And how much would he be making in TV, too? He would...
Yeah. Couldn't happen to a better guy than Kroenke, though. I'm glad to see it.
Every time I go in the Huntington Bank Stadium men's room in the press box, I think of when Stan's goons would stand.
Yeah, Stan's the only guy that brought hitmen to keep you from going in because they thought Jim Thomas from the Post Dispatch would follow him into the.
That was the only reason. That was the only guy that they were afraid might try and go take a whiz by Stan. Stan said, you haven't talked to us in months.
Yeah, Thomas would have went after him for damn sure. So that's all right. By the way, I looked it up. Previous most lopsided home loss in Viking history, the Cardinals. In 63, like the third or fourth game of the season, 50-14, Sonny Randall, 3 touchdown receptions, one of them 68 yards for 159 yards, 2 from Charlie Johnson, who was their old quarterback, and then some guy named Humphreys. So they called off the dogs, but they still scored a touchdown to 50-14. I have very vague. I didn't remember that game.
When did they go to St. Louis? Because didn't the Chicago Cardinals play?
Played here.
A
they
parade?
Went to St. Louis in 60. I think they went in 60.
Okay.
I think they went because they were here, and the guy who was married to the what's the family that
Bidwell
the Bidwells the guy who was married to the Bidwells. Bill, the original Bidwells, died, and his wife married a guy named, I believe, Walter Wolfner. And Walter was running the team because they were looking for a place to play, and they played 2 regular season games here in 59, I believe.
Was that the
stadium.
Met?
Okay. At the Met.
Okay,
2 regular
the Met.
Season games.
I thought somebody played a parade
and they were
once.
Very happy because they had, like, somebody played at parade, but I'm not sure that was a regular season. But they might have, but I've looked back at the stories. They were happy. They had 14,000, the Cullum and Jensen and all the guys are saying how great it was. We got to get a team. And And but Walter was from was from St. Louis, so so he kind of he had the same deal, and they had they'd built. Was it the old Busch Stadium still, or had they built the new? Yeah, it must have still been the old Busch Stadium.
But yeah, that
must,
was the.
But they must have had the other one on the drawing board or something. But they moved down there in '60, I think. Yeah, I think it was St. Louis before we got in the league. So it had to be.
And did Chicago play? Did the Chicago Cardinals play at Soldier and the Cubs, or and the Bears played at Wrigley?
Bears played at Wrigley, and they have the they played at not Soldier. They played at Comiskey.
Okay. Oh, they did.
They played at Comiskey, but I think the Bears went to Soldier before the Cardinals left town. I think they went. I'm not sure.
Is there any more league? Well, basketball did too, but the rinky dink nature of the NFL.
From whence it came?
Yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it is.
Basketball is probably about the same.
Oh, basketball was worse.
Yeah.
Well, look at basketball.
Yeah.
When the Lakers won their six titles, five in the NBA precursor, about four of those years, there were eight teams. And if you finished in the top three, you would play a two out of three series against two, and then the winners would go to the Western Conference Finals. And one year they made the finals, I believe. They won the Western Conference. They were 25-50, something like that. Later on, when Elgin was here the last couple of years. But there were only eight, nine teams in a league. And NFL, before we were 13-14. Dallas and the Vikings were 13-14. There's only 12 teams.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a completely
but
different animal.
Where they played, the fields they played
on. Oh, God, yes. You watch the... You look at where the Jets, Namath, played the NFC AFC title game. Where the hell were they playing when he was Shea, I suppose. But there's no grass. And the lines are, the baseball diamond's still there. And the lines are through the middle of the mud and stuff like that.
Yep.
The fields are unbelievable.
Yep.
Now the turf's a little loo. This might not be the right kind of turf.
Well, the Vikings Rams in the Coliseum, what, the Mud Bowl, 76, 77?
Well, 77, I believe, because they were going to, that was the end of the line for the Vikings. The Rams were finally going to get the Vikings. They finally had them at home for the playoff game.
Yes.
And then we got 20 inches of rain, and the Bobby Lee played quarterback, and they beat them.
There's no field.
Tarkington was hurt. That was the year Tarkington got hurt.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
And Bobby Lee beat them in the mud.
There's no field, though. It's incredible. You watch it.
Yeah, it is. It is. And now it's...
Can you imagine that now?
We got the State High School League making sure that if you're in the state quarterfinals before you go to the Dome, that you play on an artificial turf field at all classes.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I think they... Because a lot of them were in the Fargo Dome, but a lot of them were just... Like, I went to the reason Jackson and Howard Lake... played a quarterfinal game at St. Anthony was because they had artificial turf.
Okay.
Yeah. So all these high school fields that have artificial turf.
So we can't even
do the quarterfinals in the high school fields. We got to get them a good field. So that's, the agronomy has improved a little from when the boys came here. Well, the Vikings, I've always told you, when they would prepare for late season games,
mm-hmm.
After the first snowfall at Met Stadium, I was out there a few times watching practice from the press box instead of freezing my ass off down there. They would pull back about 30 yards of the tarp and practice down there in front of the scoreboard. And Freddie wanted to practice his kicks. They'd have some guy up there in the bleachers, and they'd kick him, and he'd catch him and throw him back because, they were... And the punters, if you wanted to punt, you punt from one end, the ball would go down, land in the snow, and they'd have to bring it back out of the snow. And you'd have to kick the same ball because they had about eight footballs for practice, maybe 10. So
yeah, life was more fun in many ways, I think.
Well, Midway State, they as long as the Twins were playing, they'd practice at Midway, the original Medway Stadium, not not the second one
yep.
that you all remember from the Saints, the one that was on the other side of Snelling Avenue over by the State Fairgrounds. And that was what St. Paul tried to build to attract a Major League Baseball team because they wouldn't get on board with Met Stadium. And but the Vikings would practice, leave Mankato, Bemidji first and then Mankato, and practice at Midway until the Twins stopped, and then they'd go out to Met Stadium. But they'd haul in, take like two trucks to take your equipment, two big trucks. Now it'd take 17 semis to do something like that, right, to move all your equipment.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, but, the practice over. Midway, they could have a full field, which was an improvement on Met Stadium where they could, when once it got snowy and icy, there's no one. The most famous one is when Bud, when the Rams were going to play here, the famous George Allen game. Was that the first Super Bowl they went to? I think so. And the Rams came in 69, and no, it might have been later.
Because I think Cleveland was 69, right?
Yeah, yeah. Bud went to, George Allen brought the Rams in here to practice, and they practiced at McAllister to get used to the conditions, and Bud took his team to Tulsa to get out of these conditions.
He wanted to get...
Although, once they got down to Tulsa, it was like 30 degrees, but George Allen had... They put up big tarps so nobody could watch what they're doing there. And I've told you this, Ralphie Reeve, aunt, lived across the street from the field, and she had one of those old houses with two stories and then kind of an attic with a window up there. And Ralphie didn't go to Tulsa. Ralphie went over there and watched him practice. He didn't know what he was watching. But he wrote a few things in the St. Paul paper about, this, and just to drive George crazy.
And it sure worked.
Oh, Dad, he was nuts. He went crazy. He was, George was insane anyway. So, yeah, they've improved their stuff. The place out in Eagan is an improvement on
just a little bit
on practicing at Met Stadium before the season starts. So how do you think old young O'Connell's taking this one? In stride or rattled?
Mostly in stride, probably. Mm-hmm. Here's what would rattle me, though. The defense. Because when you get run against like they did,
yes,
that would worry me. I actually think the offense, while it was terrible, mm-hmm. I don't think your offensive line, I hope it's not going to be that bad on Thursday. But, yeah. Man, you put a lot of things on film about the run game that would mm-hmm. concern me.
Mm-hmm. Now, but you don't have who's trying to move you would be,
Yeah.
But I'll never forget the day, it was a long time ago that I decided Belichick was a genius. And that was when Chile had a good team that early that season.
Oh, yeah.
Chile had a good team and the Patriots were having trouble.
Halloween night 06.
Is that what it was?
It was Halloween night.
The Patriots had been struggling. It looked like the dynasty might be over. And Chile had a really good team, it looked like. And they came in and went four wide.
Mm-hmm.
And they got penalized on the opening kickoff from the 20 back to the 10. And they went four wide anyway. Remember, they went four wide the whole first half. And the Vikings were running around in circles.
Right, because you couldn't run against them. Instead of trying to, which a lot of guys
Williams,
did.
They have the Williams brothers,
the Rose Bowl, right? But you couldn't run against those guys. And so Belichick was, they had Brady dink and dunk. Yeah. And then I think the next week is when we went, you, me, and Seifert went to Miami for the Dolphins game.
Mm-hmm.
And Saban did the exact same thing.
Yeah. Was that the Vinny game? Was that, that wasn't the Vinny game when Vinny rumbled for 130
yards. No,
this was earlier. Probably.
Yeah, this
the mini game was way earlier.
Yeah, this was 06. This was the game. I think Jason Taylor had a touchdown against them, but they gave up. I mean, the Vikings gave up 3 yards rushing the entire game.
Yeah, yeah, they didn't care.
Ridiculous.
By the way, I wrote a Dennis Denning column for Sunday, and Stevie Walsh was prominent in it, and because he was Denny's left fielder. But you look back at him at Miami.
Oh, 20, God.
23-1.
Yep.
The only loss was 31-30 in the Convicts versus Catholics game at Notre Dame. And they otherwise, he wins two national championships and never loses a game. But I didn't realize he came out after his – he still had a year of eligibility left, and he came out for the NFL draft, which, you know, he'd been – he'd redshirted, and then he was Vinny's backup. Then he played 2 years, but he could have come back for another year there.
Mm-hmm.
When did he get drafted? Third round, maybe? Second, third round? He didn't get drafted that high, I didn't think.
And he went to Dallas? At one point, he
was
in Dallas.
Yeah, I think it was Dallas at first. He ended up with the – of course, he beat Denny here with the Bears. That was a bad loss. That was the end of the Denny honeymoon.
Yeah,
right,
that was it. You're right. Yeah,
before that, we loved him.
Oh, God, yeah.
And then a month later, the Kurt Brown, Selena Roberts story came out, and the honeymoon was over for all of us then.
Let's see here. Yes, Cowboys. Let's see. He was taken – supplemental draft, 89,
really?
First round.
Really? First round? Wow.
But Walsh went Cowboys, Saints, Bears, St. Louis Rams, Buccaneers,
wow.
Colts.
Was the Bears, and if the Bears he was playing because Eric Kramer or somebody got hurt? Who got hurt?
I think you're right.
Somebody got hurt.
I think you're right. I think it was Eric Kramer.
Yeah, and that was a really good Viking team, and he came in and they stunk it out that day, and that's what we wanted. I think that made Denny Denny 0-3 in the playoffs.
Yep.
And we said, what the hell?
Because the first time he lost, because in 92, he got in to the playoffs and surprised us, and they lost to Washington, and we all said, oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's an accomplishment to get there. And by the time they got to the Bears game, a home game,
they had to win it, and then they got beat. But was the next year the Cunningham miracle game? Wasn't it the next year that 97?
Well,
that they beat
the bad loss was 90, but the Bears loss was 94, right?
Oh, I thought it was early.
And then 95, they choked
when
again.
When did Denny come?
92.
92.
So they.
Oh, I thought it was 90. I thought it was.
So they lost in 92. They lost in 93. The miracle that he probably gets fired if they don't win was 97, right?
Yeah. But so did he go to the playoffs his first 4 years?
Yeah. 1993, 94. No, they missed in 95.
Okay, 95. Okay, so that had
they
to
played
be
the Bengals and they lost.
That had to be 94 then. Yeah. Okay. So the honey. Yep. I thought it was. I was thinking it was the
right
fourth
though.
Season where the honeymoon broke, but it was the third season. 94.
Mm-hmm.
94. When we first time he ever got ripped, and then 95.
Didn't
no,
take it
96 is when they got their ass kicked at Dallas. Right.
Yes, and I think 97 he was going to be fired if they didn't.
Yeah, well,
Giants,
that's when he went on. That's when what were we called again? What were they?
The Cabal.
The Cabal. That's when the Cabal surfaced because he thought he was going to get beat by the Giants. And we all thought he was going to get beat by the Giants with 4 minutes left in the game, and then they pulled it out. And he said, that's the way they planned it all along.
Yep. So 92, he lost 24-7 to Washington. Mm-hmm. 93, they lost at the Giants, 17-10.
Yeah, that was a mediocre
the Bears
Giants
beat them
team.
35-18.
That
was the problem.
Yeah, they lit them up.
Dallas 96. So they missed a 95. Dallas beat them 40-15. And then
was that with Brad Johnson as a quarterback? Who was the Dallas quarterback? That was still
Aikman.
Oh, it was Aikman.
Yep,
okay.
That's still
was
Aikman.
Brad our quarterback? No. I thought Brad was involved in that game.
Let me see if I can.
Let me see if I can find out Brad was involved in that game.
You might be right. I forget how the quarterbacks went because they.
Brad.
Moon was in at one point, and then they went. Let me see team stats. I love the reference page. Yes, Brad Johnson, 15-27, 208 yards that day.
So we brought him back.
What? Yeah,
we brought Brad back.
We traded him in 90 in. After 98, they traded Brad and took Culpepper because we thought Cunningham was the guy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then Brad came back with Tyson
Brad
in 95.
Came back. But Brad was
2005.
Brad was our choice then, though. That was the guy we wanted playing quarterback in 96. Okay.
And Brad was supposed to be the guy in 98, and he got hurt twice. And Cunningham just kept playing great.
Kept throwing the ball up in the air and letting good guys catch it.
Yeah, it helps.
Well, anyway, quite a football weekend here.
I got a question for you.
I'm ready.
The uniforms. You covered the uniforms.
I covered the unis. You know me, there's nobody who really cares less about them. I'm trying to figure out the M with the star. Is this now our new official logo or just one of the logos?
It looks like it's being pretty prominent.
When MLB, like, puts up the Twins, you know, is this going to be what they have for us? Because a lot of people think they're the Marlins, but is that going to be us? A red?
A
hat, they got a red hat that's got it, but it's not red on the hat. But it looks like maybe the red star I couldn't tell if that was supposed to be the new logo or if it's just one of them.
I don't know what they're going to use.
The fat guys are gone.
Yeah.
The fat guys are gone. They aren't sleek.
I got a theory that Minnie and Paul are going to be different.
They're going to come back, but I think we're going to have diversity.
Yes.
I think we're going to have diversity.
And I'm guessing that they're going to announce that at some point, but they didn't want to do it at the same time they unveiled the uniforms.
Mm-hmm. And as I said, it's really a good deal to then say, look at our beautiful new jerseys. You'll want one. And then if you go on the website, 304. And if you want your name on it, I think it was $475 you wanted your name on it. Own name, I think, could have been. It was over four and a half.
Oh, my God.
But people told me that at the pop-up that they had behind there, three with the tax, it was like almost $370 for the new jerseys. What are we doing? This is not a hockey crowd. This is not the family from Woodbury.
Now, can I get a cheaper one?
Well, you can get like that.
Yeah, we got one. That's
but an authentic.
I'll sell for $250.
I mean, that one's probably, that's got to be $60, doesn't it?
It is not high quality. But, I mean, this is what most, like,
most people will buy.
What they buy, right?
You mean they didn't give Score North the highest quality, the authentic one?
These are not the authentic.
Why would you buy an authentic one?
I don't know.
I bought the nephew. He turns 7 at the end of the month. I bought him one of the last of the home jerseys, the one from this year, because it was 65% off because they're trying to clear them out.
Sure.
And it worked out great.
With the Casota Gold?
No, I don't think the Casota Gold's on that one.
Good.
But it
didn't last long at Casota Gold.
I think it was like 80.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine.
And it was a kid's jersey.
100's
wear it.
Fine.
Yeah, 100's fine.
300?
300. 300.
I would never buy an original.
No.
As I said in my column, I kind of like the Twin Cities one. I might get a couple for Christmas. And I said, wait a minute, 304, I might not. Unreal. Yeah, I don't know what you're trying to accomplish. But, you know, the whole thing didn't offend me except for the music.
Which was too loud?
Oh, God, it's terrible.
That's the problem with
it. You know, I'm all for new things, but it's terrible music.
The other thing is Juice Sutton ain't funny.
Juice,
a young black dude, 40 maybe, late 30s, never been to a baseball game in his life. I can guarantee you. Never even knew the Twins existed until 4 days ago. Juice comes out and he says, come on, welcome to this whole new era of Twins baseball. I'm saying, huh? Yeah, what?
Poor Jamie Hirsch doing there?
They paid Jamie to come in. So
okay. She's great.
Yeah, Jamie's fine. But, hey, come on. Yeah. Getting fired, people fired up. But this is a Joe Polad production. So
yeah, that's interesting. So is this indicative of him having more control over the whole thing?
He's in charge of marketing and communications, but not officially. But he's the guy they report to.
I don't think she's making it official then.
He signed my severance check about 5 years ago. That worked out well.
Oh, from Go?
From Go, yeah. Go. When I was at
well,
Go.
Go.
Yeah.
Go away.
Hey, now remind me. Uh-huh. I don't want to put this all on Joe Polad, but didn't the Polads pay like $25 million for that station?
Yes.
They paid a pretty hefty fee for both 96 and 95.
Okay, so they got two of them.
Yeah, they had two.
And
then
they sold them for four, did I see
that? I believe that is correct.
Yeah, so that was, let's hope that Joe's influence with the Twins is a little more positive.
The Polads' investment and business decisions in media entities is a college class. Because they've also got Victory Sports One.
Yeah, that was them. Yeah,
that was the Polads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that didn't work out too well.
In the Metrodome, trying to get a new stadium.
That was the only, that cost me money. Because we were off the air for a month or 6 weeks.
Sports Show jumped.
Yeah, well, right? we jumped the Victory. Maxie was tied in with Victory Sports.
Yeah.
So we jumped the Victory Sports.
Left MSC.
And he got, I thought that was the end of the Sunday bonanza, but he came back on Channel 29. I think it was
23.
One of those. We came back on one of those.
Yeah, you and...
We were out there for about 6 weeks.
Sid and Dark and Maxie and Scout.
Oh, yeah. Stout.
Or Stout, yeah. Stout, your dog was always there.
We had him until, you know, near the end at the station, he was banned, and that kind of took the whole spirit out of the whole thing.
Why'd they ban him? They
peed on the floor?
No, he never peed on a floor in his life. He just, they thought it looked, it looked unsanitary, apparently.
No, come on.
He loved that cold floor. It was a cement
floor. Oh, yeah. Dogs. Oh, dogs. You can't let
now. Now you'd say, you're anti-dog.
Yes, that's right. And they're trying to cancel my dog.
Yeah, don't cancel my dog. I should have said, I need him for comfort.
Emotional support.
Yep. I'm an old man. I got bad knees. I need the dog.
Yep. And if you said that, you can go anywhere.
Yeah, I would have been able to tell him to go to hell. The dog keeps showing
up. You can go to Costco with him then. You can go to the grocery store. Just say emotional support.
The best fun about Stout was we were in the basement, you know, and it had to be 18 steps up, back up out of the basement, probably. He insisted, Stout did not like you to get up to the top of the steps ahead of him.
That's,
you know,
yeah.
It bothered him.
Yeah.
And Sid would get started, and Sid could still move, and he'd be trying to push Sid out of the way and beat him and Sid. It was basically a competition. It was a competition.
Let me tell you something, Stout.
Yeah, and then we did, and then when Stout died, we were still on the air. And we did a, you know, eulogy to him, and Sid turned it into a eulogy about some friend of his who had a dead dog. And that is like when Dark died. He turned it into a eulogy about some friends of his. He wasn't really good at sticking to the person or animal that had just died.
The estate sale is still my favorite.
Oh, God, yes. Darkies.
Yeah, well, and Sid taking umbrage and selling his own, like, clothes.
Yeah, having his own estate sale. Darkie, I don't know what his debtors got out of it. But Sid didn't do well on his because he didn't have.
Well, Dark had all this memorabilia.
Plus the other thing is Sid didn't want to sell his, like, goods, his photos and stuff like that. He wanted you to take the cheap stuff off his hands.
I heard that there were clothes.
Yeah.
Like Sid was trying to sell off old clothes.
Oh, my God.
And that's where you told him, Sid, you won. Dark's dead. You're alive.
Yeah, you don't have to beat him anymore. You beat him. All right. What the hell? Let's hope that Thursday and this weekend are as exciting as last weekend.
And don't forget. The Badgers are very difficult.
Oh, God, they're tough. They're everything. Don't believe the standings, by God. They're good. So, all right. See ya. You have heard me discuss my relationship with Josh Arnold for some time. The reason I advocate that you give Josh a call is simple. Trust and results. Josh has seen it all when it comes to economic and market conditions. As has been said, through all of our relationship, past results do not guarantee future returns. And while that is true, Josh can make sure that your retirement objectives match your investments. You can understand that Josh will make sure you are not paying more in fees than you are seeing in returns. Yes, that is more common than you would like to think. Do yourself a favor and have a booking with Josh for the 48-minute free evaluation. This is a no-obligation meeting. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. You will be glad that you did.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Patrick Royce is a paid endorser.
Everything's getting more expensive these days. Gas, rent, and even your music. While other music services keep jacking up their prices, Live One is letting you lock in the best music membership at the best price. Live One Plus is just $3.99 per month. Get all your favorite music ad-free, along with unlimited skips and maximum audio quality. Beat inflation with the best deal in music at just $3.99 per month. Visit liveone.com/bestmusic to get Live One Plus now.